Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to share with you the news that the Widows Club is becoming Forward to Joy. The podcast will stay the same. I'm the same. All of my planning for guests coming on the show is all the same. You're just going to see different artwork. The name is going to be a little different. And I think it aligns better with my goal of being able to share some resources and tips for how do we continue healing, especially after loss or through our grief process, and be able to keep moving forward to joy. So I'm super excited about this. You might see, as I mentioned, some different artwork, but all of it is staying the same. I still obviously align with being a widow. I just feel like my resources and my goal with this podcast is to continue with those tips and learning all together on how we can continue finding those joyous moments in this life. So I'm so excited. Can't wait for you all to see the new artwork, and definitely reach out if you have any questions or if you have ideas for the podcast.
This is The Widows Club with Alexandra Wyman.
Welcome back to another week with The Widows Club. I'm so grateful to be here with all of you, and I'm super excited for a guest today. I know you all get tired of listening to me and my rants every week. So I just have to say, today I have Jackie Temple on the show. So excited. I'm going to let her touch on and introduce herself, but I just have to say, I'm not even sure how many years we go back, but Jackie and I met each other through a mutual business partner slash friend slash like sister for life. And I'm just so excited for the tips and tricks y'all are going to get today. And this is something... it just like fascinates me what you do. But thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thanks for inviting me. I am excited because I do very much believe in the like tips and tricks, even if just one that your listeners can leave with. I think that they would find it helpful, and then maybe just the curiosity will allow them to dig deeper on their own. But yeah, we have known each other for a while. I was just discussing the fact that I'm a special education teacher, and this is like my 26th year, I'm pretty sure. I'm 99% sure it's my 26th year, not my 25th. I don't know what happened. It all is a blur of joy. But, you know, teaching was a hard gig. I ended up going part-time about 7 years ago through something called JobShare. I'm so lucky that I work in a school district that allowed for that. And basically, I did that because I had started another business, and that other business had so much personal growth and development like shoved in there. So between that and then while I was job sharing, my daughter was in middle, my only child, I got to do that with her all through middle and high school. So for us here, I'm in Ohio, that's 3 years of middle school, 4 years of high school. I don't know, you know, some other
that's true. Yeah.
States.
Yeah. Ours a little is the different, same. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So during that time, I got a heart math certification. That was also COVID happened during that time. I realized how many mental health issues were happening with kids, my daughter included. COVID was really rough, like as far as friendships and navigating, you know, the pods that people created and working your way through lockdown and then into hybrid at school. Like it was just like a really rough time. It was a rough time for my students. It was a rough time for me. I mean, legit. So like during that time, I had already heard about something called heart math. And that was before COVID happened. And I went to my administration at my school and I said, we have to like, I'm asking for you to pay for me to go do this and get certified. Or at least go to this clinic for the first part and just let me learn the skills. I was like, I mean, our students need this. I go, but, and what I'll show you guys is truly adults need it first because it deals all with our heart rhythm, our creating coherence within our bodies and how you can mirror emotions with people. So like if you as a mom can get yourself coherent just by breathing, even when you're listening to your child scream and have a tantrum, just by this simple act of like coherent breathing, eventually the people around you will begin to mirror that, because the energy that comes from our heart can reach up to like 15 feet in radius. So it really is like this voodoo magic trick. Anyway, so I explained that to my principal. He paid for me to go to this like all day long clinic thing out of, you know, professional money in the building or whatever. I loved it. I brought it back. I did a staff, like on one of our staff PD days, I did a little presentation on it and what it is. This is the funniest thing, because it's called Heart Math. A bunch of math teachers signed up for my sessions thinking that they were doing like math PD. And I was like, joke's on you. We're going to talk about feelings. It's cool. Everything's okay.
Like the most linear people, the most concrete linear people. You're like, welcome to your feelings.
Right. And I'm like sitting there like, brainwaves actually only reach this far, and your heart, the energy that comes from your heart reaches this far. Like, anyway,
that's awesome.
It was hysterical. And I was like, buckle up. Anyway. So that led me to getting going through an entire certification, because then COVID came. I went through an entire certification program for heart math. And I became certified, and, I started doing like some online, sessions for teens. I practiced it on my own. Yeah, it was just crazy. And then I went to yoga teacher training as well, and I learned even more about breath and just how much we can regulate ourselves. Like, it's all about personal resiliency. That's all of it is about being resilient and about bringing yourself back to a coherent state, about learning tools that when you are going down a rabbit hole, or you're feeling anxious, or something is incredibly frustrating to you, someone's kind of coming at you with their feelings. It's like all comes back to this space where all you have to do is breathe a certain way. It's like, it's crazy.
That's so amazing. And there's so many things in that. And working with young children, I mean, I myself just returned to the schools after working in early intervention with kids birth to three. And so much of the job is co-regulation, which is exactly what you're talking about, is how do we co-regulate? How can me regulating me help you regulate you? And for kids, they just don't know, right? They don't know those tools. They don't know about, like, we teach them breathing and all this. And the other thing I just wanted to point out too is I absolutely love that you're saying we've got to do it first before we can try and teach someone else to do it. Because I say the same thing about any sort of healing. Like, you can help someone else heal, but if you're not doing the work yourself, it's not going to be as effective. And I love that. And it's hard. I mean, I recently just had I wouldn't say an altercation, but definitely a moment where I had to pause and be like, don't take the bait, work on your own breathing. And it was with adults. And I was like, understand where they're coming from and take a moment, and like took myself out of, and that helped me. Like, I needed to do that, because otherwise I was ready. I'm like, okay, bring it on. And I was like, well, that's not going to be effective at all. But yeah, sure, if you don't mind. And I mean, all of this, and the fact that you started helping other teen life is just hard, especially post COVID. And even just recently, one of my nieces is nine, one's 13 and one's nine. And the 9 year old, the story I got was that the 9 year old had to kind of break up. There was a threesome of friends, and they had to break up with one of the girls because she's on her phone all the time. And I was like, at nine, it's hard already. Like, already it's hard with this stuff. So I just think this is so helpful.
Well, and my whole thing, like, for teachers, and this is why I brought it to the school I work at, which I started back full time this year. Katie, my daughter, went to college. She's a freshman. And I knew for me, my point of all of that is like the personal growth and development, the breath work, the yoga, like all of that was this personal journey to where I've learned so much about myself that this year I knew I had to go back to work full time, or that I would be an unhealthy version of myself. And it's been wonderful. And I feel like I have something to bring. But to that point, when this was presented to teachers, the idea was like, and as parents too, you get in an altercation with someone at work, or your boss triggers you, or you're, especially as a teacher, like you get in a fight with your kids right before you leave the house in the morning, and your spouse drops a bomb on you, and all you can think about is all the things you have to get done before you go to bed that night after you work all day or whatever that looks like. And it is hard to go in and be present for other people and present at a job when you're carrying all of that with you. It is hard to be present with your own children when you are carrying a trigger from work, a trigger from a friend, a trigger from someone you're dating or a spouse. Like, we have a lot to manage. And if we can't manage ourselves, to your point, what are you going to do? You're going to create this heightened, like, it's like, you know, when you know this, Alexandra, like, where there's people that walk in a room and they suck the life.
Oh, yes.
Out of it. Like, you can feel the heaviness. And then there's people who walk in a room and they're all bright and shiny. And you're like, how are you so bright and shiny? Right. Yeah. And they just are, like, they're carrying. And I feel like a lot of those people have amazing resiliency tools. Like, they just can be like, I know who I am. I know that the way you're behaving is a reflection of you and not me. And I know that if I want to continue to feel the way I'm feeling, I got to just, like, I'm not letting that in. And, like, soon some of these skills, the, like, heart focused breathing, that I'll talk you guys through, there becomes like a level of automaticity to it. So you are doing it and you don't even realize it. Like, somebody starts talking to you and you're like, oh, I'm triggered. And then, like, you immediately even go into it and then, like, without even realizing it.
Right. Anything with personal growth, any good tools, you got to practice. I think there's this idea, I think especially with instant gratification, it's like, oh, if I just, I'm like, oh, I watched this video and now I got it. Like, no, you have to, personal growth is one of those things. And especially something with that, with your own regulation, there's no end point. There's no finish line for it because it's constantly evolving. And to promote that also in a school, I mean, I'm a big fan. Are you in elementary or middle? What are you?
No, middle. I'm eighth grade.
You're middle. Okay. I just want to say it takes a special person to work in middle school. So for Jackie and for all of you, good for, I mean, it's not me. This is why I work in elementary school. And I tell people this, I'm like, littles are easier to manipulate. Like, I can like work around them just fine. I couldn't. So you're a saint for working in middle school. But kids need it. I mean, I wish we could flop how much emotional support there is, or swap. So that, you know, the littles and middle school, you start to get more, but especially in the littles in elementary school, that you beef it up more to start building those habits. And I think it's so great that you brought it to your team and to the adults, because kids are going to mimic you, just like you're talking about mirror emotions. I mean, they are going to mimic you. If they see that you went through something and you take a moment, they will learn that they can do the same thing and don't have to hold on to it. So I just think that's awesome that your school was that open to having you do that.
Me too. I think it's because my head principal has a son with special needs. And so I think for him, he was like, yeah, okay. Not so many people are that lucky. Like, I even got like CEUs towards my teaching license for getting HeartMath certification. And then I managed to get some of my yoga accounting for it too, because I was bringing it back and like doing, we have something called home base in my school. Sorry, this is turning like to an education talk, but if you are an educator and you or your kid, you know, you're in your kid's PTA or whatever, and you're very involved, like we have, it's basically enrichment. But it's home base and they let kids put in their different interests. They ask teachers, like, what are you interested in connecting with kids over? And I was like, breath work and yoga. And so for an entire year, twice a month, which isn't a lot of time, but twice a month, we would do, like, I would taught them heart math. I taught them this coherent breathing. I taught them two other types of breathing from yoga. You know, some of them, the boys in the group were athletes. And I was like, all right, you know, what sports are you in? What gets sore? What gets overworked? Like, let's do some stretches that work with that. So point is, it's so important. It's incredibly important. And it's an extremely important thing to teach kids from day one, to your point, because I'm sorry, but like I said, 26th, 25th year, we'll call it my 25th and a half since I can't even remember. But like the reality is that I'm in eighth grade and I've watched the I've been in high school. I've been in middle school now. And I'm telling you, a lot of the curriculum seems to repeat itself.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, how about we do classes on social emotional regulation,
right?
Like on SEL, social emotional learning. Like from day one, we're not going to create stupid kids who can't keep up with other countries. Like we're actually teaching them skills that are lifelong. Anyway, rant.
No, I agree with you. And I think that's so amazing that you are taking the charge of that. I was talking to someone about a completely different project and I was like, I have great ideas, but I do not want to take this on. And so, but I think it's so awesome that you're using a tool that has benefited you and sharing it, and you're sharing it for the good of people. And that is the point. And I just want to commend you on doing that. Cause also schools are hard to do that. And it's so like, as much as you can have a district, like the district I work in is massive. And even like where my son will go to school, massive. And so that's a lot to manage. And all the school, like some schools do one thing, some schools do another. And I know, again, this conversation is going to go where it's meant to go. But my point in all that is that the more that we can get people to stand up and say, hey, this is important, I think just the better. Because you're right. Like you can learn all the academics you want, but if you don't know how to regulate yourself, it's not going to matter. You won't be able to maintain employment. You're not going to be able to be successful, whatever that success looks like, you know, if you can't learn to manage yourself. So I think that's awesome.
Heart-focused breathing is essentially coherent breathing. So if you search either one, heart-focused breathing, like I learned after going through yoga that I think it's somebody took coherent breathing, turned it into something, slapped a, you know, copyright on the name, like right. All the, which is fine.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It is. And it's helpful. And I believe in it very much. So it's the same thing though. Heart focused breathing is finding a pattern of breathing, or I'm sorry, coherent breathing is finding just a pattern of breathing and focusing your attention on just your breath. Heart-focused breathing takes it just one step further. So if I was going to practice with you, which is funny because I teach yoga on Tuesday nights and it's 6 o'clock and it's like people walk in late. It's the time of day. Everybody's rushing to get to their yoga class. Sometimes though, it's way, way more obnoxious. And at the very beginning of class, we have sacred space. So everybody's like sitting there and they know me now. So I'm like, everybody, you know, sit on your mat, create your little bubble, because we all know it's 6 o'clock on Tuesday. So in order to really get the most out of your sacred space, you need to like work through distractions and look inward. And the other day, people like the door, I mean, it was like crazy and people were coming and rattled. Like you could feel their energy when they came to the room. So instead of the normal way we start class, I was like, everybody put your hand on your heart. So go ahead and do it now. Just everybody put your hands on your heart. Begin to focus your attention in the area of your heart. Imagine every time you breathe, the air you draw in fills up that space. And as you exhale, maybe all that goodness spreads to all the corners of your body. Begin to find a count, a rhythm here, maybe 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. And stay with that pattern right here, right now. And that is coherent or heart-focused breathing. That's it.
Already, I'm like, ooh, I'm feeling nice.
It's so, I mean, and that is the basic, first fundamental level. And it's so beneficial. And I think my favorite thing about it is like, you tonight, like you can go to bed tonight and you can sit in your bed and you could do that for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. You can light candles, you can do all the things, and that's fine. But my favorite thing about this is that really, you can do it in the shower. You can do it in the car while you're driving. You don't have to close your eyes. And if you're driving, don't close your eyes. This woman on Alexander's podcast told me to close my eyes while I was driving and breathe. No.
I don't want to get that email.
But I think the cool thing that people don't understand is like, yes, you want to practice this on your own in a quiet space or even with the TV going on in the background so that you can work on like kind of blocking those things out and not letting them get to you. But when it really is magic is when you can do it in a room full of people and no one even realizes you're doing it. Because you don't have to put your hand on your heart. And if you do all the time and close your eyes and start breathing, people don't think you're weird.
A little bit.
But I was, and a perfect example is, it was literally the Monday after I went to the weekend thing on this. And there was a woman that I teach with and she was riled up. She was mad about one of my students. She just wanted to vent and be angry and was frustrated. And that's okay, because she was dealing with it the way she needed to. And, you know, there was just this mind. So I'm sitting there and I'm listening to her and my trigger, like when I know something is getting to me, my ears start to get hot. Like it's my first
interesting.
Time.
Okay.
So also learn what your triggers are. Learn physically what your body does when you're becoming triggered. So my ears start to get hot. And then like, I feel like almost like a weird vibration in my head. Like it's like the weirdest thing. And I felt my ears getting hot. And I just sat there and stared at her and let her keep going. But I started practicing heart-focused breathing. I just was like this, staring. I just went into my heart and I was counting five.
I know every time you do that, I start taking a deep breath.
But we were talking about mirror neurons and mirror emotions.
Yes.
And you know what happened? Because I didn't let my trigger come out where then I felt like, because normally what, okay, so like normally I would have gone to immediately being defensive, but it gave me a moment to get clear on the fact that this was a her issue at the moment. It wasn't at me or about me. And if I just stayed calm, it would die down. And I'm not kidding you, within 30 seconds of starting to breathe and just let her keep going, she immediately started like backpedaling, her voice lowered.
Wow.
And she goes, I know it's frustrating for you too. It was like she was immediately able to be like, okay. So that's why I call it voodoo magic.
It's so true though, the energy. And I recently was talking to someone who was mentioning that her husband's a physicist and so he doesn't get into the woo. And I was like, oh girl, I was like, there's all sorts of physics in the woo. But it's just so true. Like looking at that, I think just changing and shifting your energy, my whole point in that is like, right? We all understand energy. It cannot be taken away. It cannot be added to like the amount of energy that exists. It just shifts and changes. And to be able to just recognize your, there's so much awareness in there, recognizing your own triggers, understanding not only the physical aspect, but what your response would be or reaction. I like to say like when we're in our worth, we respond, but when we're triggered, we react. And so I just love that. And the fact that you were able to shift that now, as I'm thinking like with one of the teams I work with, I'm like, maybe I just need to do that. It might take me a little bit. They might be like, what are you doing? And I'll be like, oh, it's just heartburn. And then do my breathing. Like,
don't worry about it. Just
give me a moment. But yeah, to see that, because you can do that. I used to do that with kids who were like really having huge meltdowns. I would bring their back and actually you can turn them around. I mean, if with my kid, I can turn him around and hug him. With students or with other kids I've worked with, I usually put their back against my chest so they can feel, not only feel my heartbeat, but they can feel me breathing in order to help them start to kind of get in that rhythm.
The reality is anytime we're triggered, and obviously different triggers have different reactions, but heart math has been used with surgeons, police officers, firemen, all of these people that are in high stress situations where their cortisol is like, whew, you know, and the research shows that if a person does not have a self-regulation tool, like something like this, coherent breathing, heart-focused breathing, where essentially what you do is you're bringing your heart rate variability back to a steady, like when you're not coherent, when you're triggered, your heart rate variability, like your heart rate looks like a toddler drawing a straight line with a crayon, right? Like it's just like it's all over the place. When you're in coherence, you have this like beautiful ebb and flow, like just a wave that looks like a perfect little pretty wave. And so that's what you're looking at, that heart rate variability. And studies have shown that when people who don't have tools get triggered, literally you can think you're fine, but several hours later, you are still physically reacting to something that happened. I mean, several.
I mean, that's what I try and explain to parents with kids when they're like, oh, it just seemed like it was out of nowhere. And I'm like, oh no, you have no idea. Whatever they're reacting to now could completely be from hours ago, to your point. It could be something that they have, you know, no idea. And I just love, like, trauma is what comes up for me. Like dealing with trauma or kids who experience, and obviously I work with kids, so this is why the kid thing keeps coming up. But obviously being a widow also, I mean, the trauma of that and just being, you never know when you're going to be triggered. Like I have times of the year where I might be like, la di da, everything's great. And I just hear something in a grocery store has nothing to do with me. And all of a sudden I've got like this massive grief burst. My cortisol flies. I'm like, whoa, what just happened? And to have a tool that is always with you, always with you. You don't have to carry it in your purse. You don't have to think, but it's always with you. And I think that that is amazing.
And that's what I tell my yoga students every class. And I love that I have this opportunity. Like now I have a full-on platform, right? Like I have school and I can talk kids through this on test days or whatever. But in the yoga studio, I'd like to have these opportunities to weekly tell people, you know, to your point, this is your breath. It is always with you. It is literally the most powerful tool that you have. It is, if you need to picture it somewhere, it's in your back pocket. And you just like pull it out and start using it at any moment, any time. And it is truly the most powerful thing you have. Depleting emotions, which is what we call them. We don't say bad or good emotions, right? Because sometimes being sad is what you need.
Absolutely.
And like love is such a, people say, oh, love, it's such a, it's not a depleting emotion. It's a fulfilling one. And I'm like, absolutely not, because I love my own daughter more than anything on this earth. But I can tell you, a lot, my worry, because I love her so much, is completely depleting. Like, I'm like, it's like leaving your car lights on all night in your garage on accident, and then you're exhausted and you're like, why am I exhausted? And the other thing about that, if we don't learn how to deal with our depleting emotions, which can be a slow burn, a depleting emotion could be something that's a slow burn, or it can be something that's like a huge spike, right? Either way. But the crazy, like the research behind this, impaired mental functioning, diminished performance, reduced muscle mass, brain cell death, impaired memory. And I know when I'm stressed, my memory, literally I'll be holding my phone and I'll be like, I can't find my phone. Like, you know, like all those things that we joke about that in our memories, like I can remember every word to the song Shoot, but I cannot remember why I walked in this room. So, but here's the other killer, ladies, accelerated aging. So 5 minutes a day of heart-focused breathing or coherent breathing, whichever way you want to go, 5 minutes a day, when they did studies of people on medication to lower cortisol levels, it was 100% change in people that were just doing breath work in comparison to like only a 35% change when people who were on prescription meds.
Right? It's so fascinating.
It is. So, and it's free. Right. Like, it's free. So that's the other part of it. But we just, it's so important to be able to like stop the reaping, like stop the depleting, stop letting all of that have control over you, and then accessing this help and just like eliminate, you're always going to have energy leaks, but having this tool that like puts a plug in the leak, you know, like it just, slows it down or stops it or continues to help you deal.
You know, one of the things that I've had to learn, I had this whole idea, you know, before Sean died, I had this whole idea about what life was like. What did success look like? What was our life going to be? And, it, you know, for me, I was banking on life being predictable. And then I found out very abruptly, obviously, that life is not predictable. And to have a tool, right, to I feel like we're in this mid stage where we still have generations of people who have this idea of success in the box that we live in, and you don't feel your emotions. And then we have these, you know, upcoming generations are kind of our, well, I don't know how old you are, but, you know, it being in my 40s, you know, this generation, I feel like I'm around a lot more people my age who are saying, you know, enough of that. Like, we need that health. We need to rejuvenate ourselves. We need to manage things and to manage this thing called life, because it is unpredictable. And to have an opportunity, even for 5 minutes, you know, it's the same thing with just taking some time to meditate. And I am definitely guilty of being like, when would you like me to do that? When? Like, I get this much time. Like, beer.
In the shower.
Well, exactly.
In the car. Breathe.
So now I'm like, okay, that one I can do, right? Because I used to have people say, like, this was my favorite. Oh, you like running? Well, just put the kid in the stroller and take the dog. And I was like, that is not my time to run. That is not enjoyable. Yes, it's exercise, but it is not enjoyable. But exactly, like, there is nothing with this. Like, I don't have to pick up a weight. I don't have to have a video. I don't have to set anything up. There's nothing my head has to do other than just intentionally breathe and set my focus on the fact that I'm breathing. And I just, right? Like, it's kind of like the duh, like, duh, right?
I just think it's funny that it's free and we all act like it's this, like, I'm like, no, like, it's your breath.
Yeah, it's already working for you. Just make it more
efficient. It's all right, like, here.
Be an efficiency expert. Maybe make it a little bit more efficient for your body than just to get you through the day.
I love it. I love it. There's like 8,000 techniques that build off of heart math. So that was the first, just a heart focus. But I wanted to just share one more with you because I feel like your listeners probably appreciate it. If you're in a moment that you weren't expecting to be triggered and you are triggered, first of all, learn what your physical tells are or your mental tells, and know that right when that happens, that's when, like, really give yourself a good 30 seconds, 1 minute, like, really work on before you react, heart focus breathing, right? And again, there's so many different techniques, but there is one that's called prep technique. And this is for, like, when you're walking into a situation that you know is going to be triggering. So, I mean, there's like 8,000 things, right? That we're all like, that we all like maybe don't want to do, or shoot, maybe it's a meeting at work where you're like, that one lady is going to ask a question at the very end. I know she is. It's going to last another 20 minutes. That's like personal experience that I know that one.
I love it.
But the prep technique basically is like, if you know, something, holidays, right? Like, for some people, that in itself, holiday dinner. Anyway, so this first step is identifying an upcoming event, situation, interaction for which your prep would be effective. Okay. So think of something, Alexandra, that's maybe coming up. You don't have to share it, but just something that's coming up for you that you know is triggering. Shoot, it could be bedtime at your house. Like, I don't.
How'd you know? I'm just kidding.
Well, you're in the mix. Like, I'm over here living my empty nester life. I don't know. It's a whole different level of worry, but it's not that. So, so you identify an upcoming event. Next, while you do some heart-focused breathing, so maybe this is while you're cooking dinner, while you're doing some heart-focused breathing, project yourself into the upcoming event. So let's start some heart-focused breathing. So if you want to close your eyes, do it. Yep. So focus your attention on the area of the heart. Imagine your breath is flowing in and out of your heart space. Finding a rhythm if it feels right. Maybe 5 seconds in. And 5 seconds out. staying with your breath, project yourself into this upcoming situation. Genuinely visualize yourself being calm, balanced, and resilient. See yourself remembering to recenter and take charge of your feelings if you start to lose emotional composure. Okay.
Yeah. So here's a question I have for you. I feel like I have so many strategies, and this is such a good one. And obviously, we know it's free and always available. I don't have to worry about supply or demand. I have this, maybe I just need to write a sticky note. I will forget. I will know I'm going into a situation, and I will say, like, maybe the night before, like, just remember, set up your boundaries, set, you know, like, really get solid in what you're going to do. And then I completely forget and I walk in and I go, dang it. I should have, like, can I, like, leave for 2 minutes and come on back and, like, set that boundary? And it's usually not until someone says something and I'm like, oh, I knew this would happen. Do you have any obviously, once you're in the habit, it becomes, as you were talking about earlier, it becomes more automatic. The way I look at it is like your body starts to crave it, right? You start to crave that momentum in your breathing. It just naturally does that. When you're starting this habit, do you have any recommendations for, besides the shower, because now that's what I'm going to do, but any other ways to kind of remind ourselves or prepare? Or, I mean, like you said, this is way more involved. You guys are getting just like the snippet of this. So I'm going to put some links to explore more. But as people are starting to kind of dabble with their breath work, do you have any suggestions for how to start that habit or remind ourselves of that habit? Because I feel like what's also automatic is getting defensive and that reaction. And then, you know, we get so used to it. It's kind of, again, sorry, you guys, I work with small children, and right before they can speak, they're physical. And so then once they start speaking, we have to teach them, oh, you don't have to hit anymore. You don't have to bite anymore because you have words. So I feel like just as adults, it's like, you know, our own triggers come up and we react versus being like, you don't have to do that anymore. You got tips and tricks. And like you said, the majority of what is going on around us that's triggering is about the other person. So I was just curious if you have recommendations for how to build that habit.
What I would definitely say is maybe do some heart-focused breathing and write down what you know your physical and mental triggers are. And if you don't know, the next time you get triggered, pull out the notes of your phone and be like, ooh, that rage came out of nowhere, but did it? Like, or did something happen earlier today that made my fuse a little shorter? Like, I guess what I'm saying here is know thyself. And the more we can learn about ourselves, the more equipped we are to handle depleting emotions and triggering situations. That's one. So know thyself, like start studying yourself. What? You're the most important person in your life. Even if you say you have kids, yes, they are important. But if you are not a good you, you're not doing the best you can. So you are the most important person in your life. You've got to know yourself. So know thyself. And then use that information to start building this practice of when you're going to use this. The other thing I would say is maybe set an alarm for 2 minutes before a meeting starts that just says, like, know your boundaries or do some heart-focused breathing or whatever it is, so that way before you even walk in a meeting, it's fresh in your head and it dings on your phone and you're like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah.
I'm supposed to breathe.
The other thing I would say that maybe would be helpful, because we do this with students for like behavior modification at, you know, older levels, is something that is going to be a reminder to you. So maybe it's a bracelet. Maybe you pick one really cool bead bracelet that you love and you wear it, knowing that every time you look down on it, you're going to be like, check yourself, check yourself. Maybe it's rubber bands. Like, I don't know what that is for you. Maybe it's one of those rings that has like the fidgety things on it. Listen, you don't have to have like ADHD and behavior problems right? to use the tools that are marketed towards those things. Like, fidget stuff is fine. As far as I'm concerned, especially for people who have 8,000 things on their mind all the time.
We all do it. That's why I say it. When I hear teachers or parents are like, oh, and even I am now with that kid where they're in his class, they'll be like, he was wiggling a lot. And I'm like, I know. But I'm like, we click our pens. We, you know, people tap their teeth. They doodle. We all do that as adults. It's just.
And maybe that kid needs to wiggle.
Right. I know.
Maybe that adult in the middle of the meeting needs to stand up and move to the back of the room so they can stand for a little bit. Like, what is wrong with people? I don't. We are not meant to sit in one place for as long as we do. So, like, so anyway, I guess I would also say, you know, wherever you work or in your family, maybe start making it everyday practice that, like, if you physically need something, as long as it's not disruptive to others, like, maybe it's okay. I don't know. And I feel like we start that as adults in like group meetings at work, you know, like, oh, guys, excuse me. I just need to stand for a minute so I can think better. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And then what happens is the person sitting next to you who's been wanting to stand for 20 minutes, maybe we'll finally get the courage and they'll be like, oh my gosh, me too. Thank God.
Right.
Like, why are we so afraid to do what we need, as long as it's not creating like a crazy. So as far as I'm concerned, if you're sitting in the middle of the meeting, breathing and counting while you breathe in your head, like, you're not hurting anybody. So that was another tangent about that. But I just like, can we all just give each other some grace?
I mean, I agree. I had to do a 90-minute training and I was like, oh my gosh, 90 minutes, right? And then I was listening to some colleagues who did 2 days of 8 hours, and they're to the point where there weren't enough seats. So people were sitting on the floor and I was like, I can't do that anymore. I just can't. Nope. So
I'll send you a couple links, because there's also like this amazing book I had to read for yoga. No, that's a lie. I didn't have to read yoga. I chose to read it during, and then now they're adding it to our yoga teacher training at the studio that I teach at. But James Nestor, he has a whole book. It looks like this so that you can remember. It's called Breath.
Okay.
And his name is James Nestor. And it talks about even how people's face anatomy has changed over centuries because we've become mouth breathers. It's such a good book. And then obviously there's The Science of Breath, the Science of Breath.
Oh, I've heard some. Yes, I've heard of that one. I will find these and add these. Yeah.
But I would say the biggest thing is for people to also just look up coherent breathing. Heart-focused breathing, I'm worried that for people, like, just do what's on this podcast. Because if you search it, you might go down a rabbit hole where you have to pay for resources. And I'm not positive about that. But I feel like, this is a free resource. And honestly, you don't need to dive deeper into it unless you want to like learn and be certified to start teaching other people. You really, that coherent breathing, you can take anywhere. Like, you can add it on to stuff. You can use it as a preparation for something that you know is going to be triggering, like we did today. So there's lots of stuff out there, but James Nestor also has a podcast about breathing. So he's a good resource, I think.
Yeah, I'll definitely add that. And again, I'll put links in it. And this has just been so amazing. And thank you so much. And just, I think if anything, there are so many things, there are different, okay, I don't want to say stages because I don't like using stages of grief. I usually say phases, but there are different times with how your grief process can shift and change. And I know in the immediacy, you know, I wasn't eating, I wasn't drinking, I was barely functioning. I was a shell of a person. And I couldn't access all the resources that were available yet. However, I am a big proponent of doing the stuff when we feel good. Because when life does hit us, those habits are already there and available to us, and our body will automatically, even though like with trauma or in the immediacy, you know, your body and your brain protects itself, right? That's exactly what shock is. It's protecting you. But I feel like when we can do stuff, when we feel good, so even if you're like, oh, I'm good, I don't have issues at work, I don't have issues in relationship, still practice, but what I would say is encourage everyone listening and myself, start practicing now so that when that thing happens, when that person says something or whatever the case is, it becomes automatic and so habitual that you can tap into it without having to, I don't know, I felt like I was floundering trying to find ways to feel better, but this seems like it's, and it's free.
It's free. Also, like I said, the whole anti-aging piece, or that, you know, cortisol, like this is way cheaper than Botox and yes, or Dysport or whatever you're doing, all the things. And it's right there because true, that's the other part of this research. There's so much research behind HeartMath, but that whole thing of like consistent practice of it, they notice like just healthier cells. Like they've done so much around all of it. So some people would say, like, jokingly, it's the fountain of youth also. So just, you know, I mean, it's still like Botox if that's what you like. I get it. Like, whatever.
I'm like,
Forehead's frozen right now. It's fine. You wouldn't know if I was angry at you right now or not anyway. But, like, but we also have this other tool.
Awesome. Well, Jackie, thank you so much for joining today. It's been such a good chat. So many good resources. I'm so, so grateful. And I will add, are there ways that people can reach out to you if they have questions? Are you okay with that?
I really feel like, honestly, just reaching out through my Instagram. Okay. I know that sounds kind of silly, but I feel like it's the easiest way. So my Instagram is at, and then it's Jackie, JACQUE _ Temple, like pimple, but with a T. So TIMPLE. My mother-in-law prefers me to use dimple with a T, but dimple's more fun. So yeah, so Jackie _Temple and the first name is spelled JACQUE. But if you message me, like my Instagram's set to public because my yoga studios or yoga students find me and not my middle school students.
I know, right?
Try to block that option.
Oh boy, I know.
But yes, every once in a while, like there's stuff up there and I respond to messages on there.
Awesome. So. Okay. Well, I'll add that. And again, just thank you so much. This has been so helpful. And I don't know. I feel like I might have you back on in the future again to talk about this again. I just appreciate you so much. So thank you.
Thanks, friend.
Thanks for listening. For more about Alexandra and her work, go to forwardtojoy.com.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at AveryRich.com.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.